Good morning, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good morning, Bellevue. Good morning to Nordstrom's. You guys got trashed a couple weeks ago. Good morning to Ferrari of Seattle. I see that your plywood and your chinky-ass chain-link fence is okay. Not that it requires much to break through it, but an angry French bulldog. To all my friends and travelers, it's your good friend Dan in Seattle, and it's what? June the 9th, 2020, almost 10 a.m. I'm going to chat with my friend AJ for about an hour today, plus or minus. The math is not perfect. If you're asking yourself, is this a rare occasion where Dan is going to podcast while both drunk and high? The answer is yes. If you're asking yourself, didn't Dan talk about maybe having the sugar diabetes the other day? Yeah, I did. And you know what? I intend to take action this week. But this is a process, and my free will is squishy, and Jesus knows that I'm stubborn as fuck. Anywho, AJ, how's it going?
It's going well, Dan. That's a hell of an intro. And I think you also should enjoy yourself in life, and as you stated previously, you don't have any kids or dogs, beans though, albeit, you know, a nephew dog of sorts, but you don't have anyone that needs to be taken upon on a daily basis, so you should enjoy yourself. And, you know, I saw your videos this morning. You posted four short ones of Seattle, and it's just a controlled burn, Dan. That's all I see. It's just a controlled burn, PSYOP, pushing things. We had the 3 days, the 3 days on the weekend, not this previous one, the weekend prior, where it seemed like hell was breaking loose, and then it just stops all of a sudden, and not a whole lot since, and now we've got construction going on in Seattle, and down here in Florida, there's always been construction. I haven't found any juvenile detention centers. I'm not looking for them. They're probably building them, but real sad that is getting put up right across your window. And I don't know what to say, make of the whole thing, except just gotta take care of yourself, enjoy your life while you're here. Of course, be a good person to others, and that's all we have at this point until we're ready for the breakaway civilization, led by you and Jim Davidson. Just let me know when we're gonna pack our bags at Tierra del Fuego. I get that the Montana thing may be, or up in the mountains near Washington, I'm not quite sure what Paradox is, but that could be a good place to break ground on creating our plan for the breakaway civ. Because that's all I have at this point. This is out of control, and we don't have enough people at this moment that want to do anything about it.
I think that's fair. And let's unpack that a bit. With respect to what's going on, here's the plan. A long time ago, when I was in public school, they made me take the history of Washington State, which was really the history of Washington State and the Oregon territories. And I gotta say, most of that class was crap. However, and I hope that came through.
Loud and clear.
Most of that class was crap. But the part of the class I really enjoyed was the discussion of like the 17th and 18th century during trapper days, and the 19th century during the days of the trappers, you know, people trapping beaver, and multiple times a year the mountain men would have something that would be called a rendezvous. And a rendezvous is where they would come together and they would trade their beaver pelts and they would get their gold and they would have sex with beautiful women, probably not very well shaved, probably smelly as fuck, but come on, people. It was a different time. Maybe they took showers for the rendezvous. Yeah. Maybe they shaved. I don't really know.
Real quick, just want to interject, Dan. You got all that clean river water that hasn't been polluted by Halliburton and company. That will clean you up real good. You'll smell like fresh spring. So please continue, though, about the sex parties and what else.
Well, but anyways, the rendezvous always seemed really cool. And so here's the deal. Jim Davidson and myself, and I gotta say, AJ, and I'm not trying to be a dick, but if you can speak a little louder, it'll help, but just a little louder. Is that okay? Are you on speakerphone?
Yes, no, I'm not. I would not put you on speaker. I would not do that to the podcast.
I know you do. Like, actually, it's my fault. I just have hobo equipment. But anyways, the point is, the rendezvous is a cool concept. It has to do with free people in a free world. Imagine how free the West was back in the 18th and 19th century. And so, and I would say the early 19th century, because by the middle of the 19th century, you've got the U.S. cavalry and the cronies and the motherfuckers and the massacres of Native Americans. That gets really depressing really, really fast. But imagine back in the day, people would come together. So Jim Davidson is planning a rendezvous, what we call Igloo Luau. We're going to have a pig roast late September of this year. The plan is, and I got to double check my calendar here. The plan is September the 24th through the 27th, which is basically Thursday the 24th through Sunday the 27th. And if this is wrong, Jim will beat me up tomorrow. But that's the basic plan. This is September 24 through 27 in Paradox, Colorado. Not Paradox, Montana. I'm sure there's a Paradox, Montana. I bet there's a Paradox, Montana in almost every state.
I'm sure there is, but we would rendezvous in Colorado, Paradox, Colorado.
Paradox, Colorado.
End of September. I like that. Now, I don't have a map in front of me. What is Paradox kind of near Colorado, well, being a large state?
Do you know anything about Moab in Utah?
No, I do not.
Okay, it's basically Western Colorado. It's Western Colorado. Okay. It's near the Utah border. Honestly, I've never been there. If you're going to ask me, Dan, why are you going there? Listen, I'm going to tell you straight up. I love Tierra del Fuego as an idea if I had a lot of money, but I don't have any money. So it's like Tierra del Fuego as the escape plan we talked about, you know, weeks ago. And it was weeks ago, not months ago. I don't think Tierra del Fuego is going to work.
At this moment, it's not going to work. And this could be why the Paradox, we could discuss, try to talk about pooling resources. I'm sorry, Dan, I'm not going to give up on Tierra del Fuego as an end game, but the Paradox is a great, for me, I'm seeing that as a step towards Tierra. And we'll have to see how things pan out in Colorado, though, first.
Well, the other thing I was thinking about we would talk about, like, let's say we met in Paradox in late September. I have some weird ideas around seasteading that we've sort of talked about, and maybe the way we get the Tierra del Fuego is to island hop, like in World War II, to island hop the giant fucking garbage islands. Like, what if we figure out a way to leverage the garbage of the planet Earth as a way to get the right to seastead? Like, we tell people, listen, let us seastead, and we will clean up the garbage patches, and we will help the environment, but let us seastead. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea. If the capitalists would allow that to go on with the whole territories and all that, you know, they tell us that after 15 miles or some, I don't know the exact number, but after 15 miles off any coast, you know, you're in open territory. But then you see these videos of people getting harassed for not wearing life jackets or not having life jackets on their way to Cuba. So we would have to work out the logistics and on how to keep a low profile, because I don't think they would sign off on this. But on top of that, Dan, you sent me a YouTube video on the hamster wheel energy generator.
Yeah.
And would you want to quick, because I want to tie this into our seafaring. But you had sent, someone sent you a video of a hamster spinning on a wheel, and you had the idea to create a generator, hook just up a DC motor, which will, when spun, create a current by the motion of the hamster, like an old water wheel or wagon wheel that they may have used horses for back in the Wild West days, and create a current. Well, my idea would be in between sending me that email this morning and us talking was, what if we had that team of hamsters, and I'm talking thousands and thousands, maybe about 1,000 hamsters. They get on the boat, and we have them all on their little wheels, and Beans, the French bulldog, could be like the musher behind them, nip at their heels a bit if they're going too slow, and they can generate and turn the alternator for create power or whatever type of propulsion system we're going to use to get around the ocean. And Beans can come with and be in charge of the hamsters. What do you think about that?
Well, firstly, I love, on one level, I love the idea. On another level, I feel like Beans would eat the hamsters.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, for the fiber, for the chunkiness. You know, like, I watched this crappy show called Hannibal, which was basically a TV version of the stupid movies about Hannibal Lecter. And at one point in the TV series Hannibal, they do this terrible thing of eating these little birds, these little songbirds, where they set them on fire and they eat them whole. I feel like Beans would like take the hamsters and dip them in alcohol and set them on fire and just eat them whole.
Oh, that's grotesque. It's not the Beans I've come.
Listen,
to know,
I love Beans.
You know better than I do.
Listen, I love Beans. I also love other things that could destroy me. So it's a big question mark about Beans, is all I'm going to say. But I like the idea, and I'll say, you know, all jokes aside, I almost feel like there's got to be a way to build a little fucking flywheel-based treadmill for a guinea pig or a hamster that would charge your phone.
Oh, yeah, you definitely could, because after you sent me that email, I have those little brushless motors lying around I got from Amazon. You can get them very cheap, and they don't generate a whole lot of power, but that's perfect for your idea, in all seriousness, that it would work to have the hamster on there, get it spun up, and I was just twirling with my fingers to see what it would get back on the multimeter, and it was about a half a volt, but that was just me spinning it. I could put a little drill on it and go in the slowest setting to simulate that. I do have a hamster, so I've just got to take it apart and get some hot glue or something to get him up, to get the motor plugged in. So it's secured, so it moves with the wheel, but you definitely would be able to get a little battery charged up, or the phone, because the phones all just do DC. That box is switching from AC back over to DC, and those motors give you DC, so you don't even need the box or anything. You just need little two prongs to go straight into the device and charge it up.
Yeah, but would you really want to go, hey, AJ, can I pause you for a second?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that DC current flow be too unstable? Wouldn't it be better to charge a battery with the source from the hamster wheel and then from the battery to the phone?
But yes, because you'd have it on demand.
It'd be less damaging too. Because, I mean, I honestly don't know the architecture of these phones, but do you think they really protect for surge?
No, and it would all depend on what type of motor you had on there, and you'd want to check your output, because it's the amps that are really going to get you.
Exactly.
And I did test the amps. It wasn't crazy, but this was just a little brushless, really easy to spin.
But did you see that video? And before I go too much further, I'm sorry for interrupting you, AJ, but did you see that video? That little hamster was working hard.
Yeah, he might overdo it on the phone, because it's okay to have fluctuating voltage and amperage, as long as you're not going over when it comes to charging batteries. You just can't go over and burn things up. So the battery would be great, because then you don't have to wait for, I don't know if you know, hamsters only do this thing, they're nocturnal. At least ours is, you know, he's on that thing all night. So you'd have him charging the battery, and then you'd have it in the daytime. So definitely the battery.
Yeah, so you trickle charge. I think what you do, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but you trickle charge from the flywheel that the little hamster uses to run on, and then you flow the trickle charge, DC, into a battery, and then from the battery you charge the phone.
Yeah, yeah, and that would work perfectly. And like Teslas, I don't know if you've seen people rip them open, but they just have all these little batteries in there, and so you could get, now I'm getting a little fantastical here, but if you had a bunch of hamsters, like a hamster farm, you could generate some serious power with this idea.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, I don't know, compared to a horse on a treadmill, I'm not sure how serious it gets, but you could definitely charge phones, and you could, like, put them in parallel, too. Like, you could actually have them doing what you said in parallel.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then you get some good amperage coming off of it. And you maybe need 500 hamsters to get something worthwhile. But I don't know if you're going to want to keep that in your house. But it's a very good idea, especially if people, you know, who would our market be? Because you've got all the hamster owners, of course, but you think they would go for it?
Well, I just had a really cool idea. What if we use guinea pigs instead of hamsters? Because you could actually...
Oh, more weight.
Well, it's not just the weight, but think about it. You can eat guinea pig. So technically... we're getting real here. We're keeping it real, AJ. This is a real show. Did you know I'm drinking White Claw? AJ, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. It's the year of the great discontinuity. I should not be laughing.
No, laughter is good. Oh, in the great... Hey, AJ, in the great discontinuity, it's like what Rosa Luxemburg said about dancing. I don't want a revolution without dancing. Listen, I don't want history to be boiled without a lot of laughs. I want the great discontinuity to be funny as fuck. And to tell you the truth, the fact that Ferrari of Seattle looks like a race war safe zone with porta potties across the street seems to me to be kind of funny. So it's good to laugh.
It is, yeah. And that is a very, you put it perfectly 3 weeks ago, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we called it a controlled burn, right after it started going off.
Yeah.
You with Jim, you said, oh, there's a controlled burn. I said, I've probably said that to four other people when it comes up, you know, my dad or whoever. And they get it, you know, they see it, even though they're not probably as open to things of how corrupt with whatever the devil runs the show. And it is absolutely a controlled burn because it just started and then ended, and then certain things didn't get touched. Certain areas were fine in cities, and I'm in the suburbs, so we didn't have anything down here, but whatever I could see from watching online, some different common videos, it was definitely a controlled burn. So.
Well, here's what I will say. There are certain neighborhoods where if they pulled this shit in those neighborhoods, you would have heard AK-47 fire. So, and if you don't think there are AK-47s up and down Rainier Avenue, people in Seattle, you're fucking crazy. But yeah, if they'd pulled this shit anywhere up and down Rainier Avenue, south of me, I think you would have heard AK-47 fire. But it turns out that Carmen Best, who is the Seattle Police Department chief, is going to abandon the East Precinct, which is right up the street from me, AJ. Like, less than a mile. I can walk up 12th Avenue to the cop shop. I call it the Artisanal Police Fun Center of Openness and Love. Anyways, it's funny though, because basically, she's saying she has to abandon that cop shop, but two blocks away is Ferrari of Seattle. And listen, I don't think there's any other Ferrari of Seattle in Seattle. So if you're going to find the evil capitalists and their really expensive shit, don't go to Nordstrom's. Their crap is coming from the Philippines and Vietnam, being made for pennies and sold to you for dollars. Go to Ferrari of Seattle. Listen, this shit doesn't make sense to me, AJ. It seems like if Carmen Best has to abandon that police station, then maybe she should talk to Ferrari of Seattle, because it seems like their chinky-ass chain-link fence and their crappy-ass, you know, particle board, other than two shots with a couple bricks, it looks like they're holding together. And if Antifa of Seattle's listening, before I pass this back to AJ, listen, don't go to get your button downs at Nordstrom's. There are Ferraris at Ferrari of Seattle that are worth between $300,000 and $500,000 right up the street, right down the street from where you'll be meeting this afternoon. You're not there right now, not like WTO 99 where people protested 24/7. No, right now you guys are asleep and the streets are clear so that Ferrari of Seattle can sell. AJ, what do you think?
I have two thoughts. One, the first is along the lines of the Ferrari is they did just, it seemed like a clearinghouse with what they wanted to get rid of, stuff that wasn't going to sell anyways. was not very heavily trafficked areas, and they didn't care if, like you just said, some penny shirts from Taiwan got stolen. No one's really buying that shit anyway. Everything's online with Amazon, and things that people do buy in the stores, like weed or cars, that stuff was all protected. I didn't see anyone stealing full cars. I've seen some convenient car fires going on. It looks like some insurance fraud by the car manufacturers. That's a whole nother topic. But they definitely allowed certain things that they didn't care about to just get taken out, hence the controlled burn. And the second thing is with the whole talk of getting rid of police forces. This is hysterical to me, because I was a teacher for 10 years and had to deal with that Common Core bullshit. You think about the word Common Core, it's communism. They're literally the same definition when you look up what common and communism, it's in the same word. So what people got upset and they said, oh, okay, fine, we're going to get rid of Common Core. Well, all they did was change the fucking name, Dan. That's all they did to it. And It was the same exact slag. So the idea that they're going to abandon precincts and get rid of the Minneapolis the Police Department and undo this, they're just going to change the name. That's all they'll ever do. And it'll be the same draconian force with a boot on our neck. So I'm sick of it, Dan. It's just ridiculous how dumb people are that they go along with it because, oh, someone said they're going to change something, but nothing ever changes, only the names do. It's all lipstick on a fucking pig.
And getting back to that, yes, there's going to be an Igloo Luau in September, 24th through
26th. Oh, nice. Very good.
Well, you said lipstick on a pig, and there ain't nothing better to do with a pig than roast it deep in the earth the way the Hawaiians do, such that you bring out the succulent juices. And of anything I can say, Jim Davidson guarantees we're going to be roasting pigs. We're going to have a pig roast. It's going to be awesome. And I think we'll get as many people as we can. And in my view, it could be as simple, AJ, as an old-style rendezvous. I know in a stony, drunken way I'm trying to connect the dots here. But in September, Igloo Luau, we're going to have an old-timey rendezvous of people who still believe in their dignity and their freedom in Paradox, Colorado. So, and here's the deal, though. Next topic. What is the next topic? What do you want to talk about, AJ? Because I have some ideas, but what's going on in your world? And so you know, folks, I try not to give too much about certain people. Like, AJ has a right to his privacy. So I think I've mentioned he's from Florida, but beyond that, I don't talk about much. But what's going on in your world?
Well, just focused on food, water, and shelter. I feel I wanted to check in with you if I passed Uncle Dan's College of Preparedness, because I finally got that well to pump consistently. I put a little half horsepower turbine jet pump on it, and now I'm not getting a ton of water. I'm getting about a gallon a minute, but it was I drilled the well myself, and I have two of them with only half-inch pipe.
Can I pause you for a second?
Yeah.
You said you're getting 1 gallon per minute?
1 gallon per minute, yeah.
That's not bad. If you're talking about keeping a family and friends alive, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It would be plenty of water to drink. Of course, I would distill it first. It would not... Not going to drink it straight from
yes,
the
and we've
ground.
Talked about that. We have discussed our previous AJ and Dan podcast, just FYI to listeners, where we talk about purifying water. Everybody should know how to purify water. Continue, AJ.
Yeah, but so I want to say thank you for the motivation to get that in the ground. I could never say that enough, because when I started listening to the Little Saigon Report about 18 months ago, you were describing exactly what we're in right now. The great discontinuity was brought up in multiple podcasts, and you would always bring it back to food, water, and shelter, the things we take for granted right now that are still available to most people, but who knows in the future. So to be able to, now I have a little garden growing, definitely not enough food, but you've given the sage advice before to stock up on rice, which I have done. So I've got the rice, I've got the shelter, I suppose the house, but the water was really important to me, just to have that self-sufficiency, because down here in Florida we've got a really high water table, which is a good thing, and our ground is sand. I live in Jacksonville, at the suburbs of it, which is about 20 miles from the ocean. So it, there's no bedrock to punch through when I was drilling. Just went down about 20 feet with some half-inch pipe and then with the half-horsepower pump, but that's hooked up to solar. So my water bill hopefully will be going down a little bit because I've tied it into the irrigation system for the time being to use that water because it's pumping off of solar, and it does add up. Now, if anyone knows anything about irrigation systems, 1 gallon a minute, they would say that's a joke. But if you bank it, which I do have banking tubes I created for storage, then you will be able to accumulate that and then use a booster tank, which is basically compressed air running through the water, and get that to the lawn, which I have done, and it works. It's really nice, but just feels good to know you've got that water if you need it. And another motivation for it is, I don't think we've talked on the phone about it, but we've got ducks. We ordered them online. I've got an 8-year-old son, so I was trying to build some responsibility. He spends too much time staring at the ironically named smart devices, and I wanted to get him outside and doing some farm stuff, even though we just live in, you know, a half acre of land. So it's been good, but the ducks go through a lot of water, and they like it. So they've been drinking it, and they haven't died yet. Not that I would use that as a complete test, but you had mentioned that in a previous way to test the quality of the water, but I would still distill it. And that's what I've been up to, just keeping them, and then looking for ways financially to keep myself up. We've talked about the water filters before and bringing things to market. Actually, right now what I'm doing, Dan, is the activated charcoal, and I want to get your advice on this. Thinking about creating like a toothpaste out of it. Now they've had this before, but I've got a real simple formula. It's two parts activated charcoal, one part baking soda, and then to turn it from a powder into a paste, I take limes or lemons, so that you get the acidic effect, but it balances with the pH. Balances the pH with the baking soda, and I really think it's. I've been using it, and my teeth are a little bit whiter, and they feel clean. And I can make it all practically for free because I get the charcoal and make that myself. But I know Jim had a company. The reason I wanted to ask you was just get your thoughts on it. And I would sell for about $6 for about 3 ounces. And where Jim had that friend, I think doing the silver, nano silver or something, how he broke into the business. Not Jim, but his friend, if you knew that, how that friend of his, you know, got the word out. I don't have a big budget for marketing, but yeah. This stuff does work, and I can make it cheap, and I feel good about it because it's all natural, no fluoride or any crap like that. And what are your thoughts on that, Dan?
Here are my thoughts. What I would prefer to do is you email me this, and then I relay this to Jim directly, because Jim will give you better direct advice on this than I can. Does that make sense?
Okay. Will do. Yeah, I knew it was his friend, so, and you guys hadn't gone into the details about that company, but I was thinking that he might have some marketing ideas with all the businesses he's been involved in to sort of, and this is just a little baby one, but how to kind of get the ball rolling.
Well, I actually think, here's AJ, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I think Jim Davidson is a great resource for business consulting, and I think he would be willing to work with you, probably not for free, but also just to open up friendships and connections. He probably wouldn't charge you to talk about this stuff. So you just, you know, here's the deal. I leave it up to him to decide his businesses, just like I decide my own life. But what I would do is email me about this, and I'll relay it to Jim, and he'll probably just give you some ideas, you know, just off the top of his head. That's all I can say, really.
I appreciate that, Dan. That sounds good.
I mean, and the thing is, though, as far as the water situation goes, it seems to me you've got a pretty good setup then, right now.
Yeah, and we're in a low-key neighborhood. It's not a lot of things going on, and people are friendly to each other. I have taken that other advice of yours, and when I see my neighbors out, we'll go for bike rides in the evenings when it's cooler out. Just take the time to stop and say hi and meet neighbors that you haven't, that you don't already know, and make those connections, because who knows it feels like we're in a little lull in the action with the on the show.
I call it the intermission.
Yeah, the intermission.
We're in an intermission. But actually getting to know your neighbors is great, AJ. Really smart. Really smart. What about the guinea pig idea, though? And I want to circle back to that, if that's okay. Because, okay, before we do that, though, as far as your ducks go, here's the deal. Have you thought about building a large settling tank slash pond?
Yes. Yes. The problem is I have... My wife is getting very... what's the right word? Frustrated or she doesn't like all the stuff in the backyard.
Oh, so gotcha.
Well, hold on, Dan. I have the duck pen off to the side, and then I did make a little settling tank about 3 feet deep by, not a tank, you know, a ditch, a hole, a pond, and about, it's probably 3 feet across and 1 foot across. And that's good, but it still doesn't hold, that's not a lot of volume. Do you think I just go straight down, make it a deep, but then I don't know how to, I would have to get like some shotcrete or something there to make sure the water doesn't come out.
Can I propose an insane idea that could solve,
I would love that.
I want to propose an insane idea that could potentially solve multiple problems at exactly the same time.
I'm all ears.
Okay. What if you re-engineered this project as kind of like a living system in your backyard with a little wooden deck spot surrounded in greenery where your wife can sit and read or do whatever, like a little spot, like a little patio, but around it is this system. And with respect to the large pond, turn it into a koi pond or a Chinese carp pond with the ducks. The ducks can swim in it. They're going to poop. They're going to eat the crap in it. The koi will process it further. It's your settling tank. It's your first stage. So you're not really, that's not your purified water. That's your source water. What if you turned it into a little bit of a paradise and a science experiment? That might be a way to turn it around with your wife on this.
Oh, I really like that. We were at the hardware store the other day and she pointed out, it wasn't exactly a gazebo, but one of those wooden things that people think are trending right now on Pinterest. But along those lines, this is a great idea, Dan, to do a gazebo with a moat and then have the cope. I'm picturing a moat that would lead into that the koi pond. The ducks have their water sitting there, and then I can get creative but still keep the aesthetics intact. Because right now it's a bunch of PVC pipe, and that's not a good look.
That's what bothers her, okay?
Yes.
if you turn it into something that's beautiful, which you can do, you're smart, you're a good engineer. If you turn it into something beautiful, in addition to being functional, or find the balance, there's got to be a balance. If you can do that, then I think she'll come along. And I think you'll prefer it better, too. It'll be a nice spot to relax within this environment of water purification.
I like it, Dan. Great idea. I can look this up if you don't know, but do you know how they bury pipes besides digging everything up and putting do they have like a boring thing that you could get to bore underneath the ground to slide the pipe in? That's making it, so I don't have to dig up all the ground for the
You know what? If they don't, that should be something that okay. If that did not exist, that sounds like a product to design. Because you could probably go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off, but I've seen like the right angle drill. So it might involve something like that, like an attachment. But that would be a great, great idea if it doesn't exist. Well, because all the irrigation people, I don't know what they do. Do they dig it all up? Or do they?
I don't know, but I just imagined like a coil of like big tubing, that flexi tubing, like a coil of it. But inside of it, is a drill head connected to one of those bendy metal things that you can spin under force. And you would stick it in the ground and it would just drill slowly. And then inside of that bendy tubing, you could be sucking out the sludge. And you could use a little bit of water to liquefy as you do it. But truly, dude...
Oh, and then
go ahead.
Oh, and then you suck. Oh, that's a great idea. So it would pull it out. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, that's right. If you've ever seen those like tube worms, Seattle Mike and I were talking about tube worms the other day, but like how the tube itself, the little head will pop out imagine this bendy tubing with a metal head on the inside and a suction, and it's being driven by one of those bendy, I don't know what they'd be called in engineering terms, but a metal drive line that bends inside the tube. I don't know how long you could make that for a test model, maybe 20 feet, but in theory you could do something like that. It's just truly, I had the other thought, like maybe that's just thinking too deeply. In my opinion, the best thing to do with that type of thing is to dig out trenches and then refill them.
Yeah.
The best thing to do.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that metal.
And also, since it's Florida, you probably want to pack the trenches with sand and then also waterproof whatever you're doing. So if it needs waterproofing, it's Florida. You know Florida better than I do, but you definitely want to waterproof stuff if it needs it. And I would include ambient sources of water. So like if it's a water pipe, you just want to, like, I would say sand, like dig a trench, put the pipe in, pack it with sand, and then put the grass back on the top. But that's just off the top of my head, dude. Maybe sand and clay. Maybe clay and sand, different levels. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that would work. And to put the dig it up and put the sand and dirt back on. And also got the, we've got the gutter system that I wanted to share with you that I was going to tie that in as well to the settlement area.
Because make it into a waterfall effect. Make it something beautiful. You can do it. And be smart. Use stuff you can buy on the cheap at the junkyard, at the thrift store, at the construction site expo shop where they sell, you know, old doors and shit. Be smart about materials. Make it beautiful. I'm pretty certain your wife will come along.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. If I got the pipes underground and put a gazebo type structure up to a nice relaxing place.
Hell, I would even think about setting up a naturally solar-powered, like, outdoor tub with clean, pure water in it. One potentially interesting thing you could do is to create an outdoor tub that's also fed by your system. You said you're doing a gallon a minute. That should be feasible. So you could actually, have an outdoor private tub that you could set up. And you know, use privacy screens, obviously. I know that sounds crazy, like, dude, but people like that stuff. And, you know, it might just be in your swimming trunks. The point is, dude, I don't want to get too crazy.
I
actually see your wife's point on this, is my point. So try to make it something beautiful.
It's on like a hot tub or something, right? But of course, it'd be all not buying a hot tub, but...
Tubs, if I was in Florida, it wouldn't be a hot tub. It would basically be a tub with pure water where you could soak in it. It wouldn't be a hot tub. It would simply...
Like a pool.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, like a little pool, because it does get cooler in the winters, but never that cold.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Florida. This is just an idea, dude. This is like, I'm talking over the top. If you simply...
Yeah.
Turned it into a garden zone water purification system with a little gazebo where she could hang out and it had covering so she had some sunlight but not too much. I think that you'd probably go a long way of convincing her this is a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I need to do this because it has become a bit of a source of contention because I got a little crazy with the wells when I was trying to... get the right diameter and just messing around with depths and stuff. I still have a lot of PVC out there and it's a little tacky. So you're right, Dan. But what else is going on with you? What did you go downtown today for?
So here's the deal. Last month or so, I've been in such a fucked up state of mind that I've been primarily buying my food at the Chevron gas station. And I just have to say that probably a person could... No one can live very long doing that. That's not a good strategy. So I went to the QFC, which is an actual grocery store, and I got groceries, which means food that hasn't been dead for 2 years. If you go to the Chevron most of the food's been dead for at least 2 years, maybe even 10. So I got groceries, and then I also wanted to check out Ferrari of Seattle, which is near the grocery store, and I wanted to see the aftermath of the race war. And from what I can tell, it's just street theater, it's a block party. Seattle Police Department puts on a block party for Antifa between 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. every day now. And right now it's at 12th and Pike, but who knows where it goes next. I'd like to see them go to Little Mogadishu, Koreatown, but I don't think that's going to happen.
So the roof greens, like part of the Dr. Freckles Little Canteen Club pack.
That's right.
But no, the roof greens come, they're ready to fire. So,
like I said, there's certain places where Antifa would go right now in Seattle, and I think you would hear AK-47 fire. So they know, and they know this, and so does Carmen Best of the Seattle Police Department. But there's that.
Yeah, on Antifa, because we don't have that in Florida. I mean, I've never seen in my life someone claiming to be, I don't go to protests, but I feel like I've never met anyone that claims to be affiliated with Antifa, but it's Florida's a lot more conservative. Do you think this is all? I mean, I know that there's COINTELPRO stuff going on. What, I don't want to get into that aspect, but what percentage do you think are organically regular people, even if they're being led by propagators? It's so insane to me that you would be a part of that group from, you know, on your own fruition, not being paid because you believe in what they're saying. What percentage do you think are organic, regular people that aren't being paid just going out there?
So your question basically is how many of these people are just useful idiots?
Thank you. Yes, that was exactly my question.
And I would say maybe 40%, maybe half at most. Half.
Okay.
I think the rest are being paid. And here's the deal, dude. You've got a lot of universities in Seattle with a lot of students doing nothing who have been programmed to be commies, okay? If you're going to the University of Washington or Seattle U, you've been programmed to believe a lot of neo-Marxist, globalist, post-sexualist, let's all have phone booth Jesus communism bullshit, okay? So I think there's a lot of people out there who think that living like Robert Duvall in THX 1138 is paradise. And I'd say it's 40 to 50%. And they think Bill Gates cares about them. That's 40 to 50%.
Okay.
They're clearly not attacking the bubble building, you know, which is Amazon. And so, yeah, these are, I think half of them are useful idiots.
Yeah, I forget about the college and how bad, because I had my dose of that myself. Of all that propaganda, and it worked on me. So all those college kids out there get suckered in.
You got the University of Washington. You've got 40,000 students probably. Seattle University, you probably got 8,000 to 10,000, maybe more. Okay, basically you've got the community colleges. You probably have 20 to 30,000 students who would take $20 an hour to go hang out at 12th and Pike and yell and scream and drink beer and throw bottles and pretend to LARP and participate in Les Miserables, Les Mis. You know what I mean.
Yeah, it's all big LARP. I agree with you. Really bizarre how.
But listen,
they expect something to change, but I don't know.
Well, I think they're protesting for, you know, the essential message for me is they're protesting for more tyranny. It's not that they want less tyranny; they want a different kind. It's like the whole thing about being opposed to the cops. They're not opposed to police per se. They just are trying to promote what I would call the New World Order police. And believe me, the New World Order police will be shittier and crappier and rapier and thievier and scummier than the current cops. As bad as the current cops are, the Blue Helmet, New World Order, here's your bar butt plug and we'll make you get back into your seat, police, will be terrible. They will be terrible. So.
Yes, I agree. agree. That's what I was thinking with the whole, they're discussing getting rid of, in quotes, getting rid of police, and of course they're never going to, well, until they're gone, we'll get rid of the enforcers, so they'll just change the name. Yeah, it will be, it always gets progressively worse over time. It never gets better. Always more totalitarian. But back to the paradox and whatever leads out of there, it's a great opportunity for people to get together. There is something about in person that is, I can't tangibly say exactly what occurs, but it's much different than over the phone to have those connections built and be able to go in there without knowing no one's listening to your conversations and in a quiet cave somewhere, that you could make some plans and discuss opportunities, because that's all I can see, Dan, as far as a way out of this, is going your own way with a civilization. The issue I have with that, Dan, though, I don't think women are going to go along with.
Listen, can you speak louder and a little slower? Because you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, Dan, I've been wanting to ask you about this. The Achilles heel for me, what I see of a breakaway civilization, is the lack of women that are going to want to go along with it.
Are you kidding me? There are plenty of women that want to be harvested by the deep state. I have met these women. I have tried to date these women. I think I don't want to say it, but the point is, there are lots of women out there, at least in Seattle. Listen, this is where we're talking, dude. You don't live in Seattle. Maybe where you live, women aren't as shitty, okay? That's just a theory.
Dan, I think you misunderstood. I must have been. I meant, I don't think there are many women that are going to want to go along with a breakaway civilization.
But I mean, what do you mean by go along with a breakaway? Because right now, the deep state wants to be the breakaway civilization. Are you talking about going along with us to, like, try to be free?
Yes.
Okay, I want to draw a delineation, because in nomenclature, and I'm not trying to be a dick, AJ, but in nomenclature, breakaway civilization is often highly connected to what's called post-humanism. And that's connected to the deep state fuckers who want to turn us into Robert Duvall. With a shaved head.
I'm thinking, when I say breakaway civilization, I always, in my mind, think of the iron, iron, where they go down to Antarctica and they start their own thing.
Oh, you mean the Iron Republic?
Yeah, the Iron Republic, which I really enjoyed. I recommend anybody who wants to have a nice little novella to listen to on, or read. It's really fun. But the Iron Republic, because I haven't heard those connect. The breakaway, I don't hear many people talk about breakaway civilization, at least in my circles. But for me, it's like you're breaking away from the current paradigm, whatever that might be, whatever grotesque monster it's transforming into, breaking away into your own counter civilization on your own.
Right.
In the anarchist spirit.
Okay, and I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just that in the nomenclature, in the world of people who theorize, the breakaway civilization concept is strongly connected to post-humanism. And it's strongly connected to the Bill Gateses and the Soroses and all the motherfuckers who want to float away to Antarctica or Mars to escape whatever shit.
Oh, yeah, they're breakaway. Okay, yeah. They're Elysium. Island, okay.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But I'm thinking Antarctica right now. I'm thinking Antarctica is their safe zone.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's an aspect. But hey, they don't own that. The idea of just kind of like they've corrupted anarchists. Breaking away from a civilization. I'm just breaking. I don't have any experience with that side of it. But I believe you that nomenclature has a bias there. It doesn't matter. These are semantics.
Can I propose an interesting idea on top of the... And I don't mean to switch topics, but can I propose another interesting, weird idea?
Mm-hmm.
Rethink your backyard purification as a work of art. And you're smart. You're an engineer. You can do both. You can make it a cool place with a little gazebo area. And then I propose delivering... And again, do this. I would do this counter economics, which means get to know your neighbors, deliver, and this is where you go old school, like you make flyers, set up a romantic restaurant where you do it by reservation. You only serve two people and essentially give them a beautiful meal in a nice little gazebo with koi fish. Okay, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm thinking about monetizing your backyard. And so you just don't make it pretty, but you turn it into an additional business. So all of a sudden, and on top of it, make your settling tank transparent if possible. So maybe you have the fish swimming nearby the little gazebo zone so people can look at the fish while they're eating.
Yeah, you could have like tubes of clear tubing or something that go around in the swim around them while I like this idea, especially in the year of the deflator mouse, where so many restaurants are shut down. There's probably 200 homes in my little community area that people need a little date night. They could have drinks, not worry about driving home. I got a grill. I could cook out. This is a good idea, Dan. That's $100 for all you can eat, whatever. They come up in order. You clear at least 50. Off that with your margins. This is a great idea. Like, why stop at two people?
If you have...
Do you want to keep the romantic setting?
But you know what, though? Here's the idea, though. What if you figure this out and then you teach other people how to do the same? You know, you spread the market. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's wrong, but my point is maybe you don't stop at two people, but this is a way to make money in addition to doing this thing a little differently. I'm not trying to be all preachy either, dude. Keep in mind, I'm currently drinking White Claw, so it's probably impacting my consciousness. But the truth is, I think it would be a really cool thing to do, and I think you could make money. If you make up the flyers, you get set up for it, you get your... Obviously, you need your wife on board, okay? Period. But I would say phase one, turn your water purification into an art project that she can enjoy. Phase two is see if you can't monetize it once or twice a week to make a little money.
I like that idea. I'm just going to have to do something about the duck. The ducks, they make a lot of manure, Dan. I don't know if you have any ideas for that.
Well, they will deposit it, but if you build a big enough settling tank, which means also pond, they'll deposit it in the pond. I believe, and you check this with other people, the fish you can buy will help further process that. And if you design your pond right, it can be kind of a miniature ecosystem for both. Your pond could be the principal settling tank and the artistic center of this little garden area. Not the center,
the
literally,
fish.
But the focus, not the center. So it can be off to the side, and then you can imagine a tube. If you built it at the right height, and I think you do build it up because we talked about this in water purification. If you build the right height, you could have that tube that goes around the gazebo.
Yeah, that would look really cool if it was done right. And I didn't think of adding fish to the settlement tank. I know you mentioned earlier.
That's the idea. Add fish to the settlement
take care
tank.
Of the, yeah. And the ducks can eat some of the fish too. That's a really good idea, because they're ducks. So, but then they love that water. They're in there all the time. So to put the fish in there,
and then you put the duck area off far enough that people can see the ducks, but they're not annoyed by them.
Yeah.
And that includes your wife. So phase one is turn this into something your wife can get on board with. That's phase one. Does that make sense?
Gazebo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this gazebo is a great idea because it's already, we have a big oak tree. So we've got some shade going for us. And to just get out some nice wood, and I've done a little of that carpentry stuff that I could put something together. But wood's expensive these days. I don't know if you've been to the hardware store lately. I'm just complaining right
so
now.
So use recycled wood. Get creative. Yeah. Find the construction sites. Find the places where people are giving away the shit for free. Believe it or not, there are places in every city where you can find like the recycled or old construction material. I'm not trying. So just do some research on that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Is there a name for that kind of place?
I don't know. I would go to your favorite search engine and start there. Or if you have any friends who work in construction or contracting, call them. they might know. But I know these things exist in Seattle, and Seattle's kind of a douchebag paradise, so I'm certain they must exist in Florida.
I'll Google it because I haven't seen it, but we do have recycling type centers.
I mean, you can do a lot with doors. Like, you can go to places where they have old doors, and you can do a lot with doors, big rectangles, big. If you have the right set of doors, you could even potentially use that as part of the structure that keeps a pond intact. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can repurpose, is my point. It's just an idea.
No, I like it because wood is, as I was saying, really expensive. So to be able to find some, because you just got to take that top, sand off the whatever's gone wrong with it, and you've got good wood underneath it. So that's a really good idea because I'm sure it's out there. People are always getting rid of wood.
Now let's talk about, AJ, let's talk about phase three. You know what phase three
phase
is?
Three?
Phase
Does
three.
Does it involve hamsters?
What, it involves three? The guinea pigs. Because
okay, please continue.
I'm just being serious, AJ. Phase one is create the water purification system that your wife will love. Phase two is open the backyard romantic restaurant on a reservation basis once or twice a week to make a little money. Phase three is guinea pig production of both electricity and food that supports the restaurant, and you put those little spinning wheels around the eating area so they can look at the cute little guinea pigs run, like the cute little video. And before we continue, if I didn't say this, it's important for phase three, AJ. Before I say this, that video came from a tweet from my friend Quincy. Did you listen to the Quincy podcast, The Trucker?
I really enjoyed that one with Quincy. Yeah.
He tweeted the hamster video, retweeted it. It was so funny. I had to send it to you because I thought, you know what? If that's not a way to charge a phone, I don't want to charge phones.
Yeah. That definitely would. And more for phase three.
I'm joking. I don't think you should. I think you need to hide it. It's sort of like Wernher von Braun during World War II. The dirty little secret is that Jewish slave labor was being used to make the rocket engines. You got to hide it in caves. So you're going to want to hide the guinea pigs in your basement on the little spinning wheels because I don't think that'll help people at dinner. But you could power the lights in the backyard beautiful garden with the guinea pigs in the basement. And then phase four is Taco Tuesday. And Taco Tuesday.
Oh, no. What happens on Taco Tuesday, Dan?
Phase four is Taco Tuesday. Where you take the guinea pigs that are ready for the harvest, very lean because they've been running on the flywheels, and you prepare your tacos. And that's how you do it. That's how you solve your problem, AJ.
That does covers all the bases.
Protein's important, and I got to say, guinea pig and cane rat, these are good sources of protein. They're the new red meat.
What is that all marketing? New red meat.
Gaccos. You can call them gaccos. Say, would you like a gacco? Here you go. Don't ask what's inside, you fuck. Anywho, I'm running out of time on the podcast. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, that's a great note to go out on. We could go out on no higher note than
Well, let's talk about the phases. Phase one, build something beautiful your wife can get on board with. Phase two, think about monetizing it into some... Excuse me. Phase two is think about monetizing some type of backyard romantic restaurant. Phase three is generate power with guinea pigs. Phase four is guinea pig Taco Tuesday. So just keep that all into a plan, and we will talk again at some point in the future. Is that fair enough, AJ?
That is perfect, Dan. And I hope you have a good afternoon in Little Saigon. And it was nice to catch up with you. I really enjoy listening to all your interviews and guests, Mike, Quincy, Jim, everyone that you have on. It really helps. It's very cathartic and helpful when in this times of insanity. So thank you to you and all of your contributors that you talk with. I really appreciate it.
Well, and I appreciate you too. And if people don't realize this, I'm going to get a little serious. I was almost homeless in 2019, and AJ is one of the reasons why I didn't end up homeless. He was very generous. He's got a family. He's got kids. I'm just a 50-year-old hobo. He cared enough to help a lot. So, AJ, believe me, I don't forget how much you've been there for me.
And you've been there for me. So it's been a great reciprocated relationship. And I really learned a lot from you. And what is great is every as serious as you get, you always slice in the humor, like the Gacos. And lipstick on a pig, you turn that on a dime with that quick wit.
You know what phase five is, don't you?
What's phase five?
Phase five is you show up in Paradox, Colorado, September 24th through 27th, 2020, with your food truck selling Gacos. And you could have your little team of guinea pigs dancing on the wheels to just, you know, to entertain people.
And the power of everything to make the food. Make
yeah,
themselves.
Power some of it, you know.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, well, they reproduce pretty quickly, so you
I'm telling you, there's money.
Your stock.
There's money layered on money here, AJ.
There is. Yeah, that's something I've got to meditate. I'm going to meditate on this, Dan.
Okay.
And next time we talk, I'll let you know what I've got. But I'm definitely going to start on phase one. Phase one is where I'm going to begin with the keeping wife happy.
Keep wife happy. And I got to say, have a great rest of your day and be careful out there, okay?
Hey, you too. Take care of yourself. And I'll speak with you soon.
Okay.
Take care, Dan.
Bye.
Bye.